Yeah, Jackie, Jackie, Jack.
I love you.
I love you too. 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 Welcome to Season 7, Episode 4 of the I Want to Believe podcast. I'm Nomar Slevic. Robert Michael Pyle, the bearded lepidopterist who stole our hearts with his seminal work, Where Bigfoot Walks, is a man of many talents and pursuits. He is, of course, an author, but also a naturalist, a professor, a poet. He has been a husband and now a widower. In 2020, he was lovingly portrayed by actor David Cross in the movie The Dark Divide, which you can watch for free on Tubi and Amazon Prime. Tonight, with special co-host Christina.
Hi, everyone.
We'll be discussing the life and adventures of one of cryptozoology's most unexpected proponents. Now, before we jump into the episode, I wanted to announce that I have a new book out. UFOs Over Maine 10th Anniversary Edition. This is the most comprehensive book on the UFO phenomenon from the state of Maine, written by a Mainer. There are over 400 pages and almost 200 stories. It is available on my online store, at the Green Hand Bookshop in Portland, Maine, and on Amazon and Kindle. If you get it through me or the Green Hand, you'll get an autographed book, a sticker, and a bookmark. Get your hands on the definitive work on extraterrestrials in the state of Maine by visiting the links in the show notes or see my various social media platforms. Lastly, I'd like to let everyone know that I'm going to be at H&H Mercantile in Searsport, Maine on Sunday, May 26th. This will be from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., where I will be selling and signing books and sharing some spooky stories. Come on out and get your very own copy of UFOs Over Maine. All right, enough of all that. Let's meet Robert Michael Pyle.
Bob's publisher can't wait to read the first draft of his next book.
We've been talking about this for years now.
Let's dial back on you being so miserable.
I apologize, but my wife is...
alive. I'm alive. Go look for specimens. Get away from me for a while.
I love you.
I love you more.
Am I here?
You are here.
I thought it went this way. All right, I need to go this way. Bear with me one second, please.
Hey, you the butterfly guy?
Well, butterfly and moth.
Stop! Help!
This is north. No, this is north.
Oh, where's the trail?
I'm lost!
Get out of the way!
Ah! Hey!
How long you been on the trail?
I don't know. I guess I've lost track.
Seems ill-advised to be hiking so long without a radio or
rifle.
What if you run into a bear?
She thought you were a Bigfoot.
Do I look like a goddamn Bigfoot to you?
The majority of quotes and information gathered for this episode comes from the 1889 Washington's Magazine and writer Kathy Carroll. Other sources include the Xerces Society website, Willamette Week, and American Entomologist. Some of the audio clips used throughout the episode come from the movie The Dark Divide, released in 2020, directed by Tom Putnam and starring David Cross and Deborah Messing. Other musical clips come from Robert Michael Pyle and his collaborations with Chris Novoselic in the band Giants in the Trees.
Born in Denver, Colorado in 1947, Pyle attended the local public schools. He applied for and received his first grant in high school. It was from the Colorado-Wyoming Academy of Science for Wood Nymph Studies. During this time, he met prominent lepidopterists Charles Remington, Paul Ehrlich, and John A. Comstock, which would seriously influence his future studies.
He earned a bachelor's in nature perception and protection in 1969. He then earned a master's in nature interpretation in 1973, both from the University of Washington. After a Fulbright scholarship in butterfly conservation with John Heath at Monk's Wood Experimental Station in the UK, he then joined Charles Remington at Yale University, where he earned his PhD.
From the Entomological Society of America, quote, "Thereafter, he was a giant birdwing conservation consultant for the Wildlife Division of Papua New Guinea, Northwest Land Steward for the Nature Conservancy, and co-manager and invertebrate red data book compiler at the Species Conservation Monitoring Center at Cambridge University." In 1982, he became independent. He has been a visiting professor at Utah State University, the Evergreen State College, and the University of Montana, end quote.
Two of Pyle's published books, Watching Washington Butterflies and Handbook for Butterfly Watchers, were the first American books that promoted butterfly watching and collecting. Quote, "His Audubon Society Field Guide to the Butterflies of North America, still in print and widely used after 40 years, was the first to cover the entire fauna and to use photographs from life," end quote.
He founded the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation in 1971. The organization now has a staff of over 50 people, including prominent entomologists, and it is the largest pollinator protection team in the world. We are now moving on to Pyle's time in the forests of the Dark Divide, where he contemplated love, butterflies, and Sasquatch. From Kathy Carroll, quote,
"Sweating hard and grunting, he made slow, steady progress, keeping his eyes down in the steeper bits, which showed him the tracks of a bobcat and deer and the scat of coyote. Finally topping out, some 4,800 feet above Puget Sound, I gained the spine called Juniper Ridge. A big orange day moth wafted overhead, and a huge nymph of a shorthorn grasshopper, about as fast and graceful as I, trundled up the trail. Given the choice, I would be the moth. When I reached the ridgeline at last, feeling lightheaded at this little success and the grand views, I stood, legs apart, and gazed east," end quote.
Carroll noted, quote, "A breeze plucked a small feather he'd tucked into the band of his hat, dropping it on a rock just over the edge," end quote. Before Pyle had left his home, his wife Tia, an artist and botanist, had asked her husband to promise not to chase anything while wearing his heavy backpack, or to do anything else that could get him killed while wearing his pack. Now back to that feather that escaped Pyle's hat, he wrote, quote, "But this seems safe, so I inched over, cleverly facing uphill so as to keep my purchase on the slope. I bent, reclaimed the feather, and stood up. Then, having risen to a lighter head than I remembered, I began to fall over backward. Swinging at thin air with my big butterfly net, I caught enough breeze to tug my higher-than-usual center of gravity back across the fall line and landed on my knees facing uphill. Crawling to the ridge, I sat, shook, and looked down the route I'd almost bought. The long, steep slope offered no arrest for hundreds of yards. Rolling over the sharp and lumpy rocks, I could have been badly injured and stranded far below. I branded "Be careful, dummy" on my frontal lobe, rose with difficulty, and went on. End quote.
At this point, Pyle was 2 weeks into his month-long hike into the heart of the Dark Divide. It is 76,000 acres in western Washington's Gifford-Pinchot National Forest, which stretches from Mount St. Helens to Mount Adams. Carroll wrote, quote, "Pyle's trek formed the basis for the film The Dark Divide, released in 2020. Getting a feature film made about a lepidopterist with a Guggenheim Fellowship, exploring the healing power of nature in the place known for Bigfoot sightings was not easy. For a decade, award-winning Los Angeles-based film director Tom Putnam kept on that uphill path. Pyle's writing resonated with the director's love for a childhood spent hiking and fishing in the Gifford-Pinchot Forest," end quote.
While some might consider a decade development hell for a film, it ended up giving Putnam the time to incorporate 7 of Pyle's books into the script. This included the poems he had written after his wife's death from ovarian cancer in 2013. Quote, "That emotional palette illuminates Pyle's insights into other dark divides between love and loss, logger and environmentalist, native and non-Native American, science and superstition, human and Sasquatch," end quote.
"This tribe's met at Council Lake at the base of Pateau, but they abandoned it because there's too many big feet there. They renamed it Cultus Lake, Bad Lake."
"So there's more than one Bigfoot?"
Okay.
In a 2017 interview with Josh O'Rourke, Pyle gave his thoughts on why people want to believe in Bigfoot. He said, quote, "We all seem to need giants. And yet, the big difference to me with this one is that it might be an archetype that actually exists in the wild as well. One of the major points and purposes of the book is to speak for wildness. If we manage to save a significant portion of the animal's presumed habitat, we have saved one of the greatest green treasures on Earth. If we don't, if it becomes finally tamed outright, like so many other places, we'll have lost not only the possibility of thinking there might be giant hairy apes out there, but we will have lost much more," end quote.
So, Doc, what do you think? Tell me, do you believe Bigfoot exists?
No, I don't believe that Bigfoot exists, at least not in the traditional sense. I do believe he exists as a sort of totem or a symbol.
My man, totem.
But you've seen things you can't explain.
That is true.
Pyle elaborated in the interview with O'Rourke, quote, "I don't differentiate between the spiritual and the physical very much. I find the individuating details of the physical world are endlessly exhilarating and uplifting to me. Some have called my writing spiritual. That's fine, I don't mind the word. But I don't seek a supernatural because I don't find the natural to be wanting. It's an animal. If it exists, it's an animal that evolved and has an ecological niche like any other. To me, that's all that's required," end quote.
rivers run down to the bay. Meeting at Miller Point. One short, all tidal, and deep like its name. One long from the hills, tidal just to the town of its name. And many days gray, just like its name. Two snaky bodies of water, making their beds between forest and field, looking to find their way together.
So why would a man of science engage in the Bigfoot phenomena? It really comes down to possibilities, and Pyle believes in that. A lot of us do. The possibility of a better place, maybe more money, happier times. Possibilities keep us hoping and guessing and wanting and living. Possibility implies the absence of contradiction.
Hey, Nomar Slevic here, interrupting my own podcast again to tell you and remind you about my brand new book, UFOs Over Maine, 10th Anniversary Edition. Over 400 pages and almost 200 stories of extraterrestrial encounters from Mainers written by a Mainer. You can find a link in the show notes or check out any of my social media platforms. Also, I wanted to let everybody know that my documentary, Otherworldly and More, is available at Opera House Video in Belfast, Maine. If you happen to find yourself in the area, stop on in, say hi to Dennis, and rent my documentary. Thanks so much. Back to the podcast.
Hey. We're the only rangers for an area five times the size of Manhattan.
Have you ever seen
Bigfoot? Yeah? You've got Bigfoot fever already? We get a few of you guys every season.
I'm just curious, is all.
Yeah, yeah. I've never seen a spotted owl, but I know they're around here somewhere. Why not Bigfoot? I mean, if you were one of them, wouldn't you hide from us? I know I would.
Having gained an interest in Bigfoot due to living in an area where the creature is often reported, and from numerous indigenous people he has spoken with throughout the years, Pyle said of his interest in writing a book about Bigfoot, quote, "I got this idea. No one's ever written a really 3D book about Bigfoot. A book written by a biologist who's also a literary writer, and neither a true believer nor a diehard skeptic, out to convince others it doesn't exist. So I put together a grant proposal and applied for a Guggenheim Fellowship, and got it. It was astonishing, but I think they were attracted by the fact that I wasn't trying to prove it, disprove it, find it, or anything like that. There was actually an element of scholarship. I was looking into the substance and consequences of the absolutely ubiquitous stories among the Native Americans since the 18th century. And I was interested in Bigfoot as a metaphor, symbol, or embodiment of wilderness." End quote.
As we know, his study centered on the Dark Divide, the biggest unprotected wilderness in Washington State. Pyle had been a wilderness advocate and conservation activist all his life, and he often wondered about Bigfoot stories coming out of the area. Before his trek, he had spent a year interviewing everyone from loggers to Bigfoot enthusiasts to indigenous people. He then got to work planning his trip.
Tell us a little bit more about this proposal of yours. Look, I assume that you already have a start date, you've already planned out.
Well, no, I don't have a date as of yet. My class schedule is just crazy.
So you're going
semester.
During summer break.
Oh, it's terrific.
Summer makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I don't have a date as of yet. It's really a complicated endeavor, gentlemen.
Yeah, it must be. You've been talking about this for years now.
Yeah.
So, Bob, will you bring your supplies with you, or are you going to have them dropped by helicopter?
Well, I suppose there's you bring some, and then others are dropped, and then what would have, you know.
You have a gym membership. You've been going, right? checking it out?
I'm in very good shape. My BMI is actually, I can't remember if it's low or high, but whatever that number it's supposed to be is, it's
better. You've been camping before, right?
Yes, of course I've been camping before.
Like Cub Scouts?
Have I done an expedition? No, but I've been overnight.
What happens if you get sick? Sprained ankle, something like
that.
What
if you broke your leg, Bob?
Yeah.
What if you lost your glasses?
There are mountain lions out there, too.
Rattlesnakes.
Lions, tigers, bears.
Okay.
Okay.
Have you ever sucked the venom
Big
out of
rivers
a poison?
Okay. Drowning.
Despite the humorous recreation of Pyle's colleagues giving him a hard time about his trek into the woods, he did, in fact, have a plan. He said, quote, "I planned to do a transect across the Dark Divide with a backpack, but I had to abandon that because of an absence of water. So I went to Plan B, which combined several wilderness backpacks with day hikes and a lot of driving a little Honda on logging roads," end quote. Back to the idea of possibilities, Pyle further stated, quote, "My two main points are that if we manage to have a significant portion of Bigfoot habitat, whether or not Bigfoot walks, we will have managed to save some of the greatest green treasure on Earth. But if the land becomes tamed outright, we will no longer even imagine there are giants upon the land, and we will lose it all." That's one of the main points of the book. It's worth recognizing the myth, and I don't mean myth as a mistake, but I mean myth as a belief system, whether or not it turns out to be a biological reality. It's worth recognizing that this is the land that power came from, and I'm not being woo-woo here, I'm speaking very pragmatically, because the social power of it has been huge in many cultures. If we protect the land, we will protect a great deal more than just a shadow of what might not be there. But if we don't, not even the possibility will remain." End quote.
During his 30 days in the Dark Divide, Pyle had some experiences that tipped his typical neutral but open-minded gauge slightly into the believer category. Pyle prides himself in recognizing numerous bird and mammal calls, but an auditory experience one evening while sitting in his car, just about to leave the area, confounded him. He said, quote, "I started hearing whistling up by Elk's Pass, which is very close to the epicenter of Bigfoot reports. The whistles and cries were distinct from any birds or mammals that I know, and they were similar to the sounds I heard at Mount St. Helens in 1970. I'm listening to the whistles and about to get out with my flashlight when something strikes the top of my car. At that point, you don't think. It's the nervous system that takes over. I didn't pee my pants, but if an old Honda can burn rubber on wet dirt road, it did." End quote.
A few days later, Pyle took his wife out to the area. He wanted to bring her to the place of possibilities and hoped her skeptical mind would be open to any sights or sounds that they might encounter. He said of their trip, quote, "It's October, a brilliant day, and there, where the sounds originated and something struck my car, was a cherry limb on the ground where I had parked. It was twisted off at both ends, which is how many American Indians say Bigfoot breaks sticks. On the slope above, where the sound had come from, were 12 large tracks across the pumice and merging with a game trail." Tia was a great skeptic. She said, "Oh, it's elk tracks." I said, "No, look more closely. These are not elk tracks." The two I was able to measure were right within the mean and close to the median of the database kept by Professor Grover Krantz at Washington State University. It seems a bit too convenient, but that's the way it was. It allowed me to come out of the experience with an open mind. I mean, I'm a biologist. I don't do the Bigfoot online stuff. It's a crazy world out there. But if I give a talk, I decline to state that I believe. Because belief is something close to faith. And as Grover Krantz would say, I don't believe. I accept based on the evidence. And what I say is, I have an open mind based on the evidence I've seen and others have presented that is difficult to dismiss. tracks, sightings by sensible, sober people, and the Patterson-Gimlin film, end quote.
Famed primatologist and anthropologist Jane Goodall said of Pyle, quote, "I like the book very much, only I don't know why you were so circumspect. To me, the evidence seems overwhelming," end quote. A friendly and kindred naturalist, Goodall believes in the possibility of Bigfoot as well. She shared publicly about a visit to a remote village in Ecuador. She asked some of the villagers if they had ever seen a monkey without a tail. Their response surprised her. She said, quote, "Three of the hunters came back and said, 'Oh yes, we've seen monkeys without tails. They walk upright and they're about 6 foot tall. They knew nothing of Bigfoot. So I don't know if it's perhaps a myth that stems from maybe the last of the Neanderthals. But then, is the last of the Neanderthals still living in these remote forests? I don't know. But I'm not going to say it doesn't exist, and I'm not going to say that people who believe in it are stupid," end quote.
I want to talk to you about something that some would say is fictional, but you would say, hold up, we don't know for certain, and that's Bigfoot.
Everybody talks to me about I'm romantic. I would like Bigfoot to exist. I've met people who swear they've seen Bigfoot. And I think the interesting thing is every single continent, there is an equivalent of Bigfoot or Sasquatch. There's the Yeti, there's the Yari in Australia, there's the Chinese wild man, and on and on and on. And, you know, I've had stories from people who, you have to believe them. So there's something, I don't know what it is. I'm always open-minded.
In an interview with American Entomologist, he was asked what he would do if he were given a living Bigfoot. While keeping the creature alive, he would extract DNA and said he'd contact Goodall. Quote, "I would contact Jane and 2 to 3 other people of major national substance. I'd convene such a group with 2 or 3 of the main Bigfoot researchers and their cameras. If we could take blood and cell samples without harming the animal, all the better. Then I'd call in the press. Then we turn it loose. By then, the animal would be restored to the habitat, and a major reason for protecting the habitat would be well established," end quote.
Pyle, a naturalist and animal lover, even in the face of having a Bigfoot specimen, would not want the creature to be harmed. He is truly a man of a different nature, a rare breed of person who radiates and accepts love at all times and through numerous mediums. Tom Putnam said of Pyle, quote, "One of the things I loved about Bob's book is that he shows a very different perspective on what it means to be a man or what it means to take control of your life. And it was something that I had related to a lot more than Bruce Willis in Die Hard. He is an introverted, introspective, quiet person. That was the kind of role model I want to see in movies more, and that I want to be a part of helping create, because I think it's much more realistic. His engine is kindness and compassion, and I think he's one of those people who showed me that those are strengths and not vulnerabilities," end quote.
And I feel that is exactly why Christina and I fell in love with this man. She found the movie, watched it, and was touched by Pyle's character. She then purchased the book, and we shared in reading it. He has become a folk hero to us and to the people that admire him and his philosophies. Bigfoot has been described by some as gentle beings, utilizing and revering nature, and living a life unencumbered. I think it would be safe to say that we could describe Pyle in a similar manner.
Absolutely.
And this is about the time in the podcast where I ask, do you believe in Bigfoot? Do you believe in Robert Michael Pyle? Some might argue that those two questions are the same. To believe in Pyle or to believe in Bigfoot is to believe in possibilities. For Christina and I, we certainly do. That's all we've got for this 4th episode of Season 7 of the I Want to Believe podcast. Don't forget to grab a copy of UFOs Over Maine at my online store, slovakstore.company.site, or at the Green Hand Bookshop in Portland, Maine. Links are in the show notes. And feel free to follow us on Instagram at 207believe, at Nomar Slevic, and at Kiwis Cryptids, K-I-W-I-S Cryptids. Talk to you next month. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Nomar Slevic.
And I'm Christina.
One night, I wander to the outside.